be hearing that one Sunday night at the X. Kim Mitchell is the closing act, free with your gate admission, and after he's done on the stage, the fireworks will explode across the sky Sunday night at the Queen City X. It has arrived, the Saskatchewan Day long weekend, and wouldn't you know it, just in time, the price of gas has gone up. $1.38.9 at just about every station I passed this morning on the drive to work. Funny how that works. It's a long weekend. Oh, the gas is up. I'm hearing campgrounds are nearly full everywhere this weekend, but the fine folks from SAS Park are going to be joining me a bit later on here this morning to update us on camp availability in the province. Also, a few suggestions on how they're embracing Saskatchewan Day with some extra celebrations that you can attend at perhaps a campsite you might be at. We'll check in on that with Robin Campezzi from SAS Parks. She will be here after the 6:30 news to give you all the goods on that one there, too. But riders are on the road, of course, to Montreal tomorrow night, 5 o'clock start. Belton Johnson standing by in a minute. He's going to be here to give me his prediction. Just heard Jamie Nye and his commentary suggest Montreal's defense is a tad better than ours, and he feels the Alouettes are going to win. I'll hear what Belton has to say. And as I mentioned, the Queen City X rolls on through Sunday. How are you planning on spending your long weekend? I think we're going to head out to Pasqua Lake for part of it. How about you? 1-877-300-7275. Donald Trump's tariff war with Canada has begun. President signed that executive order yesterday, raising the rate from 25 to 35% tariff now. And the White House saying late Thursday that Canada has failed to do more in the fight against drug trafficking at the border, even though Canada accounts for just 1% of U.S. fentanyl imports and has definitely beefed up the border considerably. And Canada's response came from Prime Minister Mark Carney late last night, too. He expressed disappointment and warned that some industries, including the lumber and automobile sectors, will be hit harder by the levies. And he vowed to minimize the impact and protect Canadian jobs. And asked whether he's concerned about tariffs raising prices for American consumers, as we know they inevitably will, Trump is saying, quote, hey, the only price that spiked is the hundreds of billions of dollars coming in. However, the Federal Reserve Chairman stateside was a little more skeptical.
Higher tariffs have begun to show through more clearly to prices of some goods, but their overall effects on economic activity and inflation remain to be seen.
Just this week, Apple said it expects to pay more than $1 billion in tariffs next quarter. Ford Auto predicting the tariff bill will reach $2 billion. And this is interesting this morning. This is even on the New York Times. They're saying the 35% tariff imposed by Trump does not really apply to 94% of Canadian goods, as was the case with the 25% tariff it replaces. The new 35% tariff will not be charged on exports that meet the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement definition of North American products, which are not tariffed at all. That is even from RBS Economics, that estimates that that covers about 94% of the items Canada exports. That was in the New York Times this morning. And one of the most outspoken premiers of the last 24 hours is Ontario Premier Doug Ford. He says now is not the time to roll over. He says we need to stand our ground. Ford said in a statement, well, the 35% is concerning, especially with tariffs still in place on steel, aluminum, autos, forestry, and new copper. We continue to benefit from zero tariffs, Ford said, on all trade that's USMCA compliant, representing over 90% of our American exports, which is pretty much what the New York Times article was saying here this morning, too. That Kuzma deal, by the way, is set to expire next July. But yeah, Ford thinks we need to hit back with a 50% tariff on U.S. steel and aluminum.
He needs to remember we're his, yes, they're our number one customer, but we're their number one customer. You hear about all these deals he's making, and they're good countries, Japan and Korea. But I'll give you an example with Japan. He said he made this beautiful deal and everything, and God bless him. But they buy $79 billion worth of product off of the U.S. Canada buys $359 billion U.S. off the folks south of the border. 9 million Americans wake up every single morning to produce a widget or a good just for Ontario alone. Those 9 million jobs are in jeopardy right now. We buy more products off the U.S. than Japan, Korea, China, the U.K., and France combined. So I wouldn't roll over, and I told the Prime Minister, do not roll over. Hit that guy back as hard as we possibly can. That's what we need to do.
That's Ford's take. Again, he wants to hit back with a 50% tariff on U.S. steel and aluminum. And by the way, the White House did say the 10% tariff on Canadian energy and potash does not change. But story will continue to monitor throughout the day here. I'm sure it'll evolve a little more as both sides have a little more to say. Yeah, tomorrow night, our Saskatchewan Roughriders look to snap their winless skid in Montreal. They haven't won there in the last 4 years. And the Green Zone pregame show will start at 3, kickoff 5 o'clock. Sam Emelis is out after suffering an injury against the Elks last week. Tommy Neal will step up. Peyton Collins is back on the offensive line after being injured in week one. He's replacing Darius Washington at left tackle. Daniel Johnson remains sidelined with a shoulder injury. And for Montreal, it's McLeod Bethel-Thompson again at quarterback. And they're going to be without a couple of top receivers. Tyson Philpott and Austin Mack are out for Montreal. With that in mind, let's bring in the champ, Grey Cup champ, Green Zone analyst Belton Johnson. Your assessment there, my friend, first of injuries and how that might affect the outcome.
Ooh, lots of injuries you read off there, Greg. And, you know, I guess it's, you know, it's really that time of the year where, week nine, I believe, right?
Yep.
So, you know, the Riders, I don't know. I think this game, I feel like it might be a defensive type game. And the only reason I said it is because the Riders, you know, they've only given up, what, like 66 yards on the ground. I think the Alouettes right behind them with 75 yards on the ground or so. And, you know, you got a lot of key players out right now. So I just see this as a slugfest, to be honest with you.
Wow, I am hearing a little Jamie Nye in your voice because Jamie in his commentary here said, you know, because of the defenses, and they're both great, but because of injuries, he just thinks Montreal's got a bit of an edge. He's taken the Alouettes 20-18. So I'll get your score in a moment, but I'm starting to hear something in your voice there. I'll wait for your score. But Riders are tops in the West right now. With the Stamps losing last night, the Riders, they got a chance, Belton, to open up some breathing room in the standings if they can pull off a win. But it comes back to what you've been saying the last few games. They need a killer instinct. And who's going to give them that?
And that's, yeah, they need that killer instinct. And, you know, especially in the game, you know, going out east, like you said, that they haven't won in Montreal in, what, the last 4 years. I think they got to pull their britches up and they just got to grind it out here. And the killer instinct, I think it's, for me, it's going to come down to that run game, Ouellette and the O-line. Those are the guys we got to wake up and kind of get moving and pushing people around, to be honest with you.
Okay, well then, let me hear it. What's your score?
I have the Riders winning 22-17, Greg.
Jamie said 20-18 for Montreal. You got 22-17. It is going to be a slugfest. I hope it's not a boar fest.
No, I hope not.
But we'll have you on the pregame show tomorrow at 3 o'clock. You cook it up tomorrow or what?
Oh, yeah, we're cooking up something tomorrow. You know, I hinted with Jamie, you know, it'll be something to do with pork.
Okay.
You can go many ways with that, Greg.
Yes, you certainly can. I not so much, but I know you can. Belton Johnson, have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, have a great long weekend, Greg.
Saskatchewan Day Long Weekend. Friday morning, the sun is out. Sure, there's a bit of a scattered cloud, but it's going to be warm all weekend long. It's lake weather. It's camping weather. Heck, we're going to check in with Sass Parks after the 6:30 news, see if there's any camping availability, and also fire bans update with Robin Campezzi from Sass Parks after 6:30 news. We're going out to the lake for part of the long weekend here. I think we'll be out of Pasqua enjoying the weather. It's certainly going to be warm and hopefully not that windy. So the lakes will be perfect for getting out on the boat. A little pontoon action there, perhaps. And certainly the Queen City X is going to benefit from this great weekend weather. I'll get to that in a second. We went to the X, but I just want to say, my buddy Sean from Poulin's Pest Control, I had him on earlier. You heard Murray Wood in his commentary complaining about wasps in his backyard, too, annoying him. I've been saying that for the last few weeks. They seem to be taking up residence a lot earlier these summer months. And we had a wasp nest just, near the front steps developing. Sean comes over yesterday, took him 10 minutes. He used some sort of powder. He shot it into the crack because they were going kind of into the crack of the steps. Explained to me how it happens. And, man, that guy knows what he's doing. He said, gave me an explanation of what this powder stuff does to the wasps that only science can understand, and him. He knows what he's talking about. And Sean, yeah, it seems to have worked. He said it would be a matter of hours, within 24 hours, and I could even tell by last night. So, and I didn't get stung, nor did he. He got right down there, and he knows what he's doing. Thanks for that help. But back to the Queen City X. Fair food. I'll start there. At the X, I will tell you the food fair offerings are definitely slimmer than the last few years. The old Midway did offer a lot more food, I believe. And it's noticeable difference. When we entered off Elphinstone there by the stadium, there's a root beer stand. Oh, there's poutine. Another root beer stand. Now another poutine. Occasionally interrupted by a corn dog stand or a donut stand. Oh, there's another root beer stand, which, by the way, I don't know about you, when I was a kid, I used to think that the root beer was actually in that oak barrel. And, you know, there's always someone outside that barrel that looks like it's tapped. As a kid, I thought, yeah, I got to get one now because that barrel is only so big. Anyhow, lots of root beer stands. We settled on a blooming onion. $25. Thought, okay, let's go. There's a band playing at the nearby beer garden. We'll sit down. We'll grab a beer. Two beer, $25. $50 in the first 10 or 15 minutes. Another $10 on the way out of the park for the donuts. $60 in total on that. Not counting the cash my kid needed. She was there with her friends for food and rides. She's a teenager now. Doesn't want to hang with us. She's out doing her own thing with her friends. But I spoke to her at the end of the night when I picked her up, what she and her friends thought of the Midway. And she said, this is my daughter's words. She said, oh, it's okay. Biggest complaint was how long the lineups were on the rides. In some cases, she said they waited 45 minutes, so they didn't do as many rides because of the long waits. Now, that was my observation, too, on the Midway. We got there about 4:30. I instantly noticed the long ride lineups right away, and you can see why. Almost every ride on the Big Kid rides had only one attendant working. Now, take, for instance, the Himalaya. That's the one where, you know, the guy yells, do you want to go faster? Anyhow, one guy working it. The lineup was huge. One guy has to scan every ticket first going through, and then he walks around the circumference of the ride to make sure everyone's bar is down. Oops, room for two more people. Bars have to be lifted again, make room for the final two. Then he walks around again to make sure everyone's bar is down, thankfully. It's safety first, right? And then starts the ride. I witnessed that process take about a good 5-6 minutes before the ride even cranked up, and meanwhile, the lineups are getting longer. But yeah, West Coast Amusements looks great. Looks freshly painted, fairly clean, but clearly they need more personnel from what I saw. And yes, the Midway is definitely looking smaller. There's no Crazy Mouse roller coaster, no giant wheel, no log ride. It's a smaller footprint. But the rides they do have, I thought, my kid thought too, they were all good thrillers that you would find at any other Midway. My take from the Queen City X. As a kid, it's magnificent. As an adult now, you see it from a different perspective. But I do love watching even my youngest, who's almost 15 now, still has a big smile on the rides. It's kind of fun. If you're going today, it opens as of course, again, at noon, midnight, nightly, parking limited, very limited. All the lots were full when we got there. $15 to park on site, too. Here's the part I could never sing. But I really want tonight little too high. My soprano voice left when I was in grade 6, I think. Maybe 7. I lost it at Rosemont. But yeah, I was in choir at Rosemont. Like, I'm back now. I'm like, what the heck was I doing there? But the teacher said I had a lovely soprano voice. But it went very early in life. Anyhow, some good news for the Southwest, if this happens, where it's been totally drought-stricken. And it's probably far too late to be of any use. But hey, to see the moisture that is possible, there is a severe thunderstorm warning in place for the Southwest there. Environment Canada says a heavy rainfall moving ever so slowly up from Montana. It could be up to 75 millimeters, about 3 inches of rain. And it's so dry there, man. you might think about flooding because the ground is so firm. But moisture in that area would be a surprise. Feel bad for those in that area. And pockets of Saskatchewan have had just enough rain, maybe too much rain. It's just all over the map. But for the most part, most farmers that I've spoken to and text us here suggest things are in pretty good shape right now, too. Hey, the Naked Gun reboot hits theaters this weekend. It's the fourth movie in the franchise. Gets a reboot with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr., the son of Leslie Nielsen's character from the originals, which started out in the 80s. In this one, he's trying to keep his father's memory alive by preventing the closure of Police Squad. Pam Anderson plays his love interest, and it's getting really good reviews.
I'll find them. This is what I do.
Says you served 20 years for man's laughter.
You mean manslaughter?
Must have been quite the joke.
I can't wait to see this. Evan Bray and I both said this might be the movie that gets us to the theater here in the first week of its opening, because I don't want anything else to be spoiled. But one critic said, I haven't laughed this hard during a movie this year. Very clever. Another said, it's a freaking miracle. Hilariously funny, and calls the best laugh of the entire movie during the closing credits. So don't leave until you see the closing credits too. Incidentally, Happy Gilmore too. That's one that the family we're talking about watching tonight didn't get around last weekend, but a lot of you did.
But even when you're at the top of your game, you can always shank one.
Happy Gilmore sucks.
Oh, eat a bag of...
Yeah, Happy Gilmore too set a record for Netflix. It was the biggest opening weekend ever for a Netflix original movie last weekend. It had more than 47 million views in the first 3 days. So I imagine how many millions more through the week and probably this weekend too. If you haven't seen it by now, there's a dream sequence, I guess, where Bad Bunny imagines himself tying up a 49er Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, and lathering him with honey so a bear will attack him. And I guess a lot of Taylor Swift fans were thinking it was Taylor in the bear costume. Adam Sandler confirmed, no, that was not. And I just read that season 3 of Tulsa King will drop September 21st. That's the Sylvester Stallone series on Paramount, which I really enjoyed. Season 1 was better than season 2, but yeah, I like the series enough to keep watching a third coming out in September. It's great, but not as great as Landman with Billy Bob Thornton, which is in the middle of filming season 2 right now. They haven't officially said the release date for that one yet, but in all likelihood, middle of November for season 2 of Landman.